Started here. I'm going to role play as the interim chairman for these first few items on the agenda, as legally we don't have a chairman and a co-chair for the advisory committee at the moment. So I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 6 o'clock. I guess the second item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Tonight, we're going to elect officers. We're going to talk a little bit about the status of the Taxiway Bravo project, the natural gas extension line that's been installed. We'll brief you on discussions we've had with the fire department with regards to Georgetown Fire Company, with regards to training, a training program and response to aircraft-related incidents and accidents at the airport. I still have on the agenda the discussion and the role of the Airport Advisory Committee. I don't want that subject to die. If there's anything that we need to discuss about that, we'll do so. So can I have a motion accepting tonight's agenda?
So moved.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No. Okay. Next item, election of officers. It's my responsibility to ask for nominations for the position of chairman. You will serve 1 year.
I nominate Rick Garner.
Rick Garner.
Second.
Any other nominations? Anybody else? Okay, Rick Garner has been nominated. Can I have a second?
I second that.
And second that. Okay, all those in favor of Rick?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, Rick, it's your show now. You have to find yourself a co-chairman.
I got a call. I'll be back.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. All right. Is it vice chair or co-chair?
Vice chair.
Sorry about that.
For a vice chair, do we have any nominations? I'll nominate Ezra. Mm. He's done such a great job.
Thanks.
So I'm second.
Second.
You can nominate you.
Anybody else with nominations for vice chair? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. That's what we're now vice chairman.
Yeah.
Okay. Approval of the minutes from last meeting. Do we have a motion to approve?
Everybody should have a copy of that.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. All right. Have a motion. Any second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, wildlife management update, Bob.
Wildlife management. Back in early January, I bought one of those motion deer camera things. I've had it set up here in this area for several weeks. Moved it over here, looking at this fence line. There's a lot of deer activity, has historically happened here. Left it there for several weeks. Set it up in this area between the approach to runway 2 and taxiway alpha. Often when I'm chasing deer from this end of the airfield back into this wooded area, they cross here, set the camera up over this pond, set the camera out here looking against this fence line. I typically see deer running here. Right now the camera is sitting right here looking to the east of the airfield. I haven't recorded a single deer since January.
Awesome.
I think we are deer-free for the first time in the 5 years that I've been here. I know this past hunt season, our resident county employee who has the depredation permit to take deer was out here pretty much almost every day. So, yeah. So I'm certain for the first time in the last 5 years we are deer free. As far as waterfowl, geese, ducks, turkey buzzards. It's that time of the year. We've already taken 4 eggs from a nest, which we have a permit that allows us to do that also. And we continue to monitor the airfield, shoot off my firecrackers, my screaming rockets at anything that's on the airfield. It seems to work. We can chase them off the airfield. But typical of birds, you know, they'll find their way back. And it's just being consistent in monitoring what's happening on the airfield. So that's pretty much it for wildlife hazard management, unless anybody else has anything they'd like to add. Have you seen anything?
A fuck ton of seagulls.
Seagulls.
Shit ton. More than it was. You know the field when you're going to Rehoboth, this field with snow geese on the right?
Yeah.
That's what the runway looked like the other day.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, and they're worse when it's wet.
Yeah.
When it's raining and the pavement's wet. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, short of someone calling, asking the FBO to do a drive to scare them off, there's not much to...
The FBO has one of our launchers and a couple of boxes of both bangers and screamers. So, yeah, they can go out there. And they're familiar with operating on the airfield, so I have no problem with them driving up and down the runways and shooting off some firecrackers.
Any other comments, questions? All right, airport update.
All right, taxiway Bravo. Our next construction phase. As everybody's familiar with, we have already completed that section of the new Bravo between what has now been redesignated taxiway Golf. The terminal is right here. Hotel is right here. We've already completed this phase of the project. The next phase of the project will take the taxiway north of Golf. We'll tie into the new, we still call it the new general aviation tie-down apron, and take the runway or the taxiway another 750 feet. We'll also introduce a new runway intersection that'll match with taxiway Bravo. This project's already under grant. Construction contracts have been signed with Alan Meyer Construction, who also was the contractor, prime contractor on this project. They are targeting June 1st as a startup date. The project is 150 calendar days. Construction of this, they're targeting 120 days. And you have to have a period for the pavement to cure before we can do final markings on the project. This is, again, supposed to take 120 days of the 150-day calendar day project. There's going to be a problem, though. When we start construction of this taxiway intersection, it falls in the runway 422 safety area. There will be restrictions on the use of this runway when we are working in this area for 21 days.
Holy shit.
Yeah, 21 days. Now, as long as I know in advance that we've got a jet coming, got one of your airplanes coming.
How much
in
advance?
We can pull back 24 hours.
Yeah.
24 hours.
We don't even get fuel releases in 24 hours.
Okay.
So from most of the guys.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put out a NOTAM also announcing that without problem, because we did it when we were working. We were doing another project where we had to restrict operations on the runway.
Yeah.
And we issued a NOTAM where we identified the category type aircraft, anything larger than that, prior airport management approval with our telephone number.
And when's the commencement of the phase? Oh, the
start? The project begins June 1st.
We don't have the schedule yet.
Yeah.
We'll have that within probably 2 weeks, and then we'll know more of the criticality of these phases, and we can let you guys know. But I think Myers is used to working in a tight window, so if we give them heads up, like skedaddle, if something's coming in, They've been good to work with in the last days.
Is there a maximum wingspan that, that won't be in effect for? Or is it all usage of 422?
No, it's not all uses of 422. It's the Gulfstreams, it's the Boeings.
Okay.
So as far as the King Airs are concerned, Phenoms, aircraft like that, no problem, no problem. Now, there will be a 5-day closure of runway 422 when they have to mill and tie in this taxiway with the runway pavement. That's going to affect everything.
That's everybody.
That's everybody, yeah. So that's the latest on this project. We'll obviously keep everybody, all airport tenants and users, advised to the status of the project, schedule of the project, through the email exchange that I typically send out. If you're not on that email, please contact me. We'll add you quickly. The next phase of Bravo, and I'm sure you guys can all see this. We were contacted by the Federal Aviation Administration, curious to know that if they were in a position to give us the full amount of FAA 90%, well, actually 95% for this fiscal year, 95% funding to design, bid, and construct the last two phases of this four construction phase project. Would Sussex County have its local share match to be able to do that project? The response was yes. We have been working feverishly with Delta Airport Consultants in designing these two taxiway paved surfaces. We're hoping that we can bid and get bids received to be able to submit to the FAA an AIP grant for this project by
sometime later this year.
Does the money spent on the design count towards our portion?
No. FAA will pay. This calendar year, the FAA is paying 95% of the total cost of eligible projects before we go back to the 90%.
Yeah.
Design's an AIP eligible cost. We're having to upfront that cost because the FAA will reimburse us once we have bids, construction bids, on this project.
Okay.
Couple of things that you'll notice with these taxiways, we're gonna lose the run-up pad. Mm-hmm. This portion of the run-up pad is in the object-free area for the runway. That doesn't meet FAA design requirements, so we're gonna lose a portion of this run-up pad. So what we're gonna do in exchange for losing this is run-ups are gonna be done the old-fashioned way, on the taxiway, at the hold line, until we can follow up with future projects to design and build what is now an FAA-compliant run-up area.
Well, that's part of the runway extension.
Part of the runway extension. There is, on the other page, for the 2-2 end, there's the identical thing, but it's actually stuck over here somewhere. That's the goal, is to complete that project and get it out of the way so we can begin to focus on, hopefully, the runway extension, which the county has submitted $43 million grant application to the FAA's General Aviation Runway Extension Pilot Program. Created by Senator Tom Carper, and fingers are crossed that the FAA is going to select us and are going to award us the full $42 million and change. If they award us anything less, there's 2 years remaining in that program. we'll just submit a second application for what the remainder of the project cost might be, and if need be, we'll submit a third application. So.
So the runway of the Monterey down 22, is that going
away? That's going to stay. No, this is going to stay, Rick. That's going to stay, but this one, because of design standards, so the center line of the runway is going to cut right through what is basically the middle of this area. Now, there's going to be a lot of pavement still left here.
Is it going to be removed or just not?
This is going to be removed. Okay. Yeah, that's going to be removed.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then, you know, we'll go back to doing what you did in the good old days before run-up pads became, you know, common. You'll just do your run-up on the taxiway. So, until, again, we can submit an AIP grant, you know, to put run-up pads at the end of the taxiways.
You have to make sure the flight school
understands. Yeah. Estimated cost for design and construction is $7 million, 7.2, maybe 6.8. It's going to fall in that area somewhere. So we'll see how it goes.
Students will get pressure from a jet or something, and they'll probably just start doing them on the ramp, on their own ramp.
Yeah, or the student pool behind the jet.
Say that's probably.
Yeah.
Now,
when they pull out, they're always pointing sideways, no matter what.
I will mention something else. Taxiway Alpha will remain, which is going to be unusual because it's probably going to have to be downgraded. And downgraded isn't the appropriate, the right word. From a taxiway to a taxi lane. So we're going to have a wider taxi lane than the 35-foot FAA standard width for a general aviation airport taxiway, primary taxiway serving primary runway. Until a time comes when taxiway Alpha is going to need to be renovated and the standard width for a general aviation taxi lane is 25 feet wide. So this will remain for the foreseeable future, but one day we'll have to address it. So.
Well, that being so narrow, is that going to affect the large aircraft from being able to get fuel?
Large aircraft are going to be using this runway, or this taxiway. And in the project, the turnoffs at the intersections of each taxiway are designed to accommodate Gulfstream size airplanes. The 737s will never operate on this side of the airfield. They'll never operate on this side of the airfield.
Why?
Well, here's what's interesting about that. 737 can operate on a 35-foot wide taxiway. The reason why they're not going to, why we don't want them on this side of the airfield is because the load-bearing capacity is being built to 90,000 pounds. Not to the 100 plus that they need. So they'll just continue to back taxi on the runway. Now, in the airport master plan, years down the road, there is a parallel taxiway that's being proposed for the east side of runway 422. When we trickle down to this project, how many years is that going to be? Because after this, you know, once we're done with this, and hopefully we're going to get this, once those are done, we need to look at preserving the pavement that we already have. It's great to expand, it's great to, you know, build new pavements, but we can't turn a blind eye to the condition of some of our existing pavements, and that also includes the condition of the existing runway. So that's our 5-year FAA airport capital improvement plan, basically right there.
Any
Bob, the reason I asked why about the 737 is you have quite a lot of aircraft come in for like race weekend and stuff. That was large.
Well,
when we go to a 35-foot taxiway.
Well, 35 feet wide is going to accommodate a Gulfstream. It'll accommodate a Gulfstream. Yeah, no problems. I mean, what's the main gear wheelbase on a Gulfstream?
It's not much wider than the Pilatus.
yeah, exactly.
Keep in mind also, maybe you mentioned it, but at such time in the future, when we meet warrants for a higher design class, that taxiway can get widened to 50 feet.
That's true.
So
yeah.
We're trying to implement design features now so that it can be easily widened by 15 feet in the future. If that, whether that happens or not, we don't know, but it would widen in the western direction.
Yep.
Yeah. And that would be the ultimate width of the taxiway.
Okay. Any comments or questions?
Mark, can you give us an update on the natural gas extension?
Yeah, just short and sweet. I think most people know we had finished the initiative for having Chesapeake Utilities come out and install what ends up being an extension to their natural gas facility in our business park. So it's a 4-inch PVC line that extended from our business park across the north end of the runway, and then it serves, runs down Rudder Lane and along Aviation, and it serves the airport, portion of our airport. So that project was completed by Chesapeake Utility Forces, I want to say like the end of the year. There's some weather that got in the way, but it might have been early January, including services to 12 targeted facilities or buildings. It's a mix of county facilities, owned facilities, and tenant hangars, meters installed as well, or meter points, the meter pans aren't in. The only thing it's not done is some final restoration. So we scoped that out. I told Chesapeake, come back in April, when you can do the work properly and reseed. What we're going to do is, most of you have heard me say this before, this is like a 3 or 4 year plan in the making. So Chesapeake had developed a plan to serve a certain number of properties, and it was based on their economic analysis, as well as there was a customer advance agreement that we had executed, which upfronted monies based upon their 7-year analysis of how they would recruit money. So that's what came to be, and that's why the properties that have the laterals have them now. There are other properties and tenants that have expressed interest. And so what we're going to do is Patty will send out an email sometime shortly, probably within the next 30 days, just asking who else has interest. And then we need to link in the Chesapeake folks to determine, we don't know this yet, but the vehicle of getting additional laterals installed. The main's already there, so most of these would just be a pretty simple shoot off of the lateral. So that'll be just an email going out, and we'll gather the data back and then partner with our Chesapeake team and determine timing and logistics getting additional service laterals in.
Would Chesapeake have to come back and do some grading and seeding?
Yes, that's the restoration. Yep.
Okay. One of the T-hanger tenants was asking me today if that space between Larry Kelly's hangar and Skip Jones's hangar, that empty lot down there, that's part of it.
We came up with a list for them when we walked it. I'm not sure if that.
Yeah, I thought they bored all the way underneath that.
Well, I think they came up.
Did they come up there? Okay.
They did piecemeal borings everywhere because we told them you're not busting open pavement. Mm-hmm. So I think they used that empty lot as a place to come up from their drilling. So
I could remember if they came up there or if maybe snow plows have damaged it over the winter. Or the sod up there.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Snow plow.
So yeah, if anybody sees areas and I don't have the list that things need to be added, we'll take a look at that, Rick, but yeah. I'll just make sure they address it before their forces come in and pull out.
Okay. Pass that on.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Fire department training.
Fire department training. During our last advisory committee meeting, we discussed in length the role of the airport advisory committee. We talked about pavement repairs. We talked about supplemental wind cones on the runway 22 approach, which, by the way, is going to be included in the design phase of the next phase of the taxiway Bravo project. But as Patty mentions in our minutes, there was a lengthy discussion regarding fire department training at the airport. A couple of days ago, and even before then, I've been in contact with a representative from the Georgetown Fire Company, a Bob Ricker. He's a training officer with the firefighting company, very eager to establish some standard operating procedures in response and duties of the Georgetown Fire Company, and he also wants to create a training program for all the firefighters. Rick Gardner, Jeff Reed, and I met with Bob Ricker about 2 weeks ago. We have a follow-up meeting scheduled for April 13th, 7 p.m. in the terminal building, which Bob Ricker is naming as his first airport training. Interest in items that he and I think he said as many as 20 members of the Georgetown Fire Department or Fire Company are interested in hearing from us is they'd like to take a tour of the airport. They want to know the layout of the airport, including runways and taxiways, fire department entrances and access to the airport. Of critical importance is communication with aircraft in emergency situation, fire department resources at the airport prior to and during an emergency, which there aren't many. Yeah, they're also interested in the types of aircraft and the frequency and the numbers of takeoff and landings. That's what we plan to discuss on April 13th. Bob has requested a second training meeting night where they can receive some hands-on training with some of the aircraft that are typically available at this airport. And I'm thinking about if anybody's willing to let them look at your single engine airplane, twin jet.
You got a bunch of stuff they can look at.
Yeah. You know, they'd like to have tours and have at least some knowledge of what these aircraft are made up of, to include airplane construction, accessing occupants, electrical shutoff, fuel loads that are typically carried on these types of aircraft, and the types of in-air and on-the-ground incidents that they, meaning the fire department, may be faced with at the airport. Bob continues in his email to me, after these training sessions are completed, documents will be drafted. He thinks he will have enough information to put together a comprehensive standard operating procedures that they can use to train on site along with our staff, FBO pilots, and their firefighters. So it's moving forward. My biggest concern is when the firefighters get on the airfield that they're familiar enough with the airfield to where they don't become a hazard or create an unknown hazard for themselves. Everybody probably saw the news lately where the jet crashed into the fire truck crossing the runway. We had a Piper Seneca that did went off runway 10 a couple of months ago. Fire department responded, ambulance responded. For a short time, I thought we might be able to keep runway 10 or 422 open. When I started seeing vehicles just driving across that runway, I closed the entire
field. Why did they come in that side? Or the...
I don't know, you have to ask him.
Yeah, because that's the other thing.
You have to ask him.
Lack of knowledge, lack of experience, lack of training.
Yeah.
We haven't done it since, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while, so...
For anything like, because, I mean, for anything that's on runway, they should really come in on the other side.
Well, I also want to make their access onto the airport as easy as possible because they're coming from right over there.
Yeah.
And to go on the other side of the airport,
true,
where we don't have a gate, unless they come through your gate, and then down the runway, down runway 22 to get to 10-28.
Do they have a Yelp over there? The Yelp?
No, no. There's not. It's only one. And I, you know, and my biggest concern again is I don't want them to become a hazard on the airport. Communication is going to be critical. Because during that Seneca incident, and then a couple of weeks following that, we had a Baron that blew a nose gear on runway 10-28. I was on my handheld radio shouting to pilots that the runway is closed while they were all announcing their positions landing runway 422. My concern is when I'm here, and when the FBO guys are here, they can understand the communication.
Yeah.
I can't rely on if Rick's at the airport or Ezra, if you're at the airport, can you grab a handheld radio and go out there and play my role or play, you know, somebody's role who can coordinate that? I want the training for the fire company with regards to moving around and access on the airport to be as simple as possible, because these guys come out to the airport for real aircraft incidents or accidents once, maybe twice a year.
They're out here to get dinner and lunch more often.
They need to be able to handle it anyway, just because like how many people, like we have handhelds, you guys have handhelds, how many other people on the field have handhelds?
Well, you know, easier said than done. I mean, because after 6 p.m., from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., there's competent people guaranteed on the airfield.
Yep.
After that, no, there's not. And we don't have a control tower. And I want to make sure that the fire company commander or whatever the title was for the guy that's in charge.
The fire team's going to have a communication.
Who does have an aviation radio.
Yeah.
Is going to be able to understand and separate the aviation activity that's going on from his role of being the incident commander.
They're on field 24/7.
What's that?
They had the firehouse.
That's a valid point.
And the old plan, it was my understanding, somebody would be there to take care of the in-air, and somebody not messing with people on the field.
That was the justification.
That's a valid good point.
So DSPs here is 24/7 have access to both radios. Why can't they be the?
They don't have the staff.
They may be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, most of what's based at the hangar are the pilots. There's not a.
But they're still familiar with the field, have access to a handheld and access to the fire company's radio.
If they're here, if they're here, yeah.
The biggest thing, I think, getting the fire company training, one, to understand what they're hearing, like, what does that mean? Two, identifying what airfield they're even talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that they're not, you know, communicating with people over some other airport.
With Millville. I can hear them.
So, and then just getting them up to speed on, like, how to communicate and the frequency of communication.
Yeah. Once they get to the incident, man, you're on your own. You know, do what you typically do. I'm not going to tell them or, you know, attempt to tell them how to, you know, fight an aircraft fire or whatever, or extract, you know, people from the airplane or whatever. I just want to make a policy, procedures that are easy for them to remember when they come out here.
Yeah.
once a year.
Yeah.
Because every time we do our budget, I have to go to the training session because I plug our numbers in our operating budget. I spend about 4 days on that, and then it, you know, leaves my head, and I gotta go back to the training for that.
Speaking of that, Bob, you may want to add some funds to have put towards the Georgetown Fire Company training and supporting their coming out here at 2-3 times a year.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Yeah, yep, yeah, I agree.
Might be a new line item there.
Yep, yep. So, you know, that's where we are with that. We've got a meeting set for April 13th, 7 p.m. in the airport terminal conference room. The banquet room, I guess you would call it. You guys are invited. Everybody's invited to show up. Again, Rick and Jeff and I are kind of taking the lead on this. You guys want to join us? By all means, come and join. So, other than that,
do you want me to send out a reminder to the
please
to the okay. to the advisory, to the advisory committee members? Okay. Yeah. That's all I've got on the fire department training.
Thank you, Bob. I'm personally glad to see this getting traction again.
Yeah.
Jeff and I were. After, 15, 17 years ago,
mm-hmm.
started mm-hmm. gain traction, but it got lost, so I'm glad to see it. And it sounds like there's some serious interest on the fire department side.
Yeah, there is. And Bob Ricker did tell us that the volunteers, that they want to be involved, but they're scared to death to come out here.
Scared of what they don't know. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
All right. Discussion of role of Airport Advisory Committee.
Again, I kept this on the agenda. I don't want this to die. This might be an opportunity to, if you can think of any other interests the Airport Advisory Committee has, an opportunity to briefly discuss them now, or if you would prefer, shoot them off to me in an email. I will mention, I haven't received a single email from anybody yet about what your interests are, other than what we discussed at the last meeting and what we're discussing tonight. So if you do have something that if you're curious, if you want to know why we're building a 35-foot wide taxiway, I'll respond. I'll tell you exactly why. You may not like the answer, but I'll tell you exactly why.
How wide is the B-25 gear?
I don't know.
I know it's not 35 feet.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much is on each side after you get in the middle.
The FAA, they have a criteria, like they have a criteria for everything, based upon the frequency, the most common aircraft that are used at this airport, and just like the runway extension, 250 operations of the largest aircraft determines the criteria for runway width, taxiway width, and a host of other things. Yeah, we have 60 Boeing 737s that typically operate at the airport, maybe as many as 80, maybe as much as 100 a year. But we don't exceed that criteria that the FAA will give us grant money to build a 50-foot wide taxiway.
If I was the FBO selling the fuel, I'd be jumping up and down if you're limiting my aircraft from being able to get to these works.
That's not my decision.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
But with the increase in the runway, one of the problems that they've had, and correct me if I'm wrong with ALOC, was they'd have to depart with minimum fuel because the insurance companies and takeoff distances, they'd leave here and go to someplace else in a short distance, fuel what?
You're right.
Which is taken away
You're right.
from the FBO's primary purpose here. So.
Well, really, they don't even.
You're right.
I mean, you guys are fueling. Talking
yeah,
about
it happened today.
What's
actually.
That?
I said it happened today, actually.
Yeah, so if we get a longer runway, you're gonna have more insurance companies approved coming into here, and you're gonna have somewhat maybe larger or more of the existing aircraft coming in here. And I'd be jumping up and down if I was standing at the FBO saying, I wanna sell fuel, and the airplane's going just down the street to get to the next gas station.
Oh, you're right, you're right. Now we need to exceed the FAA's criteria with the number of, or by the number of operations of the Loft's 737s.
Consistently. Not just 1 month.
That's right. FAA wants a 5 year,
And Harrisburg will define what consistency is.
Yeah.
That's the challenge we've been facing for the last
10 years. I'm just saying that
as
Aloft grows, the runway grows, your bigger aircraft come in, the FBO sitting there chomping at the bit to sell fuel, and they're going to the next gas station down the road because they can't get to it. Reasonably.
You're right. So, you know, again, I don't want this topic to disappear. If you have any thoughts, ideas, you know, shoot them off to me in an email. Again, we've got the ball rolling on this with this Sussex County Volunteer Fire Company training, and obviously we'll keep everybody involved as to the status of that.
Bob, the only thing I can add to that is I've heard from several of the members on the committee is we're always reactive. We hear afterwards instead of being proactive and hearing about things that are coming or what to plan on coming, and we never have any input on what's coming. For example, the 35-foot taxiway, if we were talking about, you know, what we should design and what we should be asking for, this kind of conversation would have come up like it did tonight beforehand, which is good. It's very good. And you know, I know the hurdles, you know, of the government. So.
Yeah.
All right.
We can be more
proactive instead of.
Well, we can be more informative. I can tell you what to expect. I can't change that, but I can tell you what to expect.
Right.
Moving on to public comments. Anyone in comments?
What else? Have we heard what's going on with the GPS? What they're doing to fix that? Correct it? Or what the hell the problem is?
I know the FAA is trying to figure out what's causing it.
It's been about a month. We were the first, so we reported it. It was one of my flights actually reported it first. Then we found three other people same day that had the same issue.
Yeah. Dover actually took the lead on that because they're the ones that hear the complaints from pilots that are flying in that they lost the GPS or they had an anomaly.
It doesn't matter. This whole, random. It's random. It'll just, you lose 100%. GPS location, everything, it all just goes down. You get nothing. You have satellites, you like the RAIM work. It shows, like if you do a RAIM check, you have all the satellites, but you have no signal. So, which is, seems counterintuitive because that's the whole point of the RAIM check.
When you get reports, do you get the runway that it is?
It's happened both runways for me. So,
and the problem
we
is.
We lost it departing four. I lost it the first time departing runway four. Going out to ATR, and we lost it. We came back, took off again, lost it again as soon as we got in the air. Got about 1,000 feet, and then we didn't get it back until we were north of Dover.
No, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I lost it. Head north, take runway four.
Yeah. Lost to come back from Nashville.
And I almost had to cancel my off-air flight plan.
Is it coming?
I did. I recycled my GPS and it came back up.
We just get ahead.
An on and off thing.
It was probably just luck that it came back when it did, because we just get a heading, hold it, and then
But
if we don't get it by north of Dover,
I heard you speak tonight. I didn't know there was an issue with it in the area.
So it's not altitude related or anything?
No.
Can't pinpoint factors?
Nope. I remember when I was in the TVM, we were climbing, they gave us a heading, and our normal climb was like 17,000 feet.
It's not targeted in a specific spot.
No, it's been
it's
moving.
Crazy random. Yeah, it's crazy random.
Del
the FAA,
triangle.
Yeah. and the FAA has no idea what's causing it.
It's obviously complete, like, it's made it challenging because it is completely unreliable.
Yeah.
Like, as where everybody's coming in, it's like, is it going to work or not? I'm going to drop it at 500 feet. I'm like, am I going to lose it at 1,000 feet in IMC? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Any other airports reported?
Oh.
And especially in the local area.
What's the one up in Dover?
Delaware Air Park.
Delaware Air Park has reported it also. And I don't believe they've had any impact at Dover, although
nothing on social.
Not when I asked them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any way to,
what are you guys doing over there in that big place?
I'm telling you. It's those new power lines that you guys are installing, which I have no idea what those are or why they.
Is that down there?
Yeah, Delaware Electric.
That's the advanced utility relocation contract by our state buddies on Park Avenue.
One day a bunch of poles started showing up and wires started getting strung.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's interesting.
Is that causing?
How long has it been going on for?
No.
I can tell you day one.
Not at
17 day one that they got the report, because we made the first report and then.
But they're not transmission.
No, it's
just distribution.
Where was I going?
I wrote it down.
No,
that's a possibility.
All right, if no one has anything else, let's talk about the next meeting date.
Just like.
That email that I gave you, did you go over that?
Yeah,
that?
January 31st.
Time. I want to see what involvement we're going to have in that.
Okay. Next meeting date, April, May, June, where we don't want April, we're just May and June. We definitely have to have the one in September, the end of September, because of Wings and Wheels, so.
Don't we do like May and then kind of.
Yeah.
The summer because of vacation.
The vacation, yeah, because July and August is pretty hectic with.
It seems to be something in May because June 1st, again, is when Alan Myers is supposed to begin construction on that second phase of the project. Let's see if we can schedule something in May so we can give an update on that project.
Okay, so May, the fourth Wednesday would be the 27th. May 27th, that is the Memorial Day, is that Monday, so that would be the Wednesday after Memorial Day. Does that pose a problem to any, for anyone?
Not currently.
So Wednesday, May 27th.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah, I got a fire to see you.